Off the Ball. GAA.
You know, people had spoken about the freeze coming off him. Would that affect him? Not an ounce. Not an ounce. Water off a duck's back. And I think that people maybe overhyped that a lot throughout the league because, you know, Aiden was going so well and maybe Aaron wasn't getting that feed of ball. You see when you put ball into that man what he can do with it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Hurling Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With Apple Green. Making every journey better.
Welcome along. It is championship time. Spring is giving way to summer at the moment, and it is time for the first week of championship and our preview of it. It is the only time that I will allow this to happen, or at least the first time this year, where we will actually do the top three in Munster. Because that's all we've been asked about. We did a live pod a few weeks ago. Who are the lads picking me top three in Munster? I look at the comments even from last week, and thanks for the nearly 200 comments from last week across Spotify and YouTube. Again, who do the lads think is going to finish top three in Munster? Today is the official day when Paul Murphy and James Skell can actually answer that question. And indeed, they can give their top three in Leinster as well. It is our championship preview ahead of week one of the Leinster and Munster championships, which get underway next week. The Hurling Pod, of course, is brought to you by Apple Green, helping you relax, recharge and enjoy the journey ahead. And yeah, some longer journeys this week with all the blockades and the protests and so on. But James Skell, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Will. I'm so far so good, yeah.
Good, good, good. And Paul Murphy, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Excellent. No news whatsoever to talk about from the week just gone by. We're only going to, no matter what happens, we piss off half the audience if we talk about the protest. And if any of you give an opinion on it, the problem is, again, you will piss off at least half of our listeners. So let's just stay right down the middle of this one and talk about the hurling for the week ahead. Yeah, exactly. Just don't ask about it and then we're fine.
I will say though, do you know how in some films, you watch comedic films, right? And they do like a blooper reel, right? So I wonder, can we put one of them together? Because I was trying to hold my sauce there from not bursting out laughing from the first take.
First take? What first take? No. This is the first time. You're getting the raw, you're getting the unedited version of this. We didn't talk about anything else before and then realise we couldn't talk about it and then have to go back and restart the podcast entirely. I didn't have to try and remember that intro off the top of my head twice. Nope. It just didn't happen. You know, I was like, I'm determined to watch the end of the Masters tonight as we record on Saturday night as well. So let's hope we don't have to have at least two more restarts before now and the end of the podcast. I also did promise as well that we will talk about the league team of the year, our player of the year, and our young player of the league as well. We will do that on this week's members pod. We're bringing it back for this week. So we'll do that before we finish recording tonight on this Saturday. We're not recording on Sunday because Rory McIlroy is probably going to win two green jackets in a row. If this all blows up spectacularly on Saturday night, you now know we recorded on Saturday when I make a call like that. Far more importantly, before we get into the hurling itself, I would say the majority of people agreed with me that actually there is only one way to mix your cordial. And I did see one person warn as well who went, even the no added sugar version, watch out for those sweeteners that go into the drinks, lads. And we're like, it's a kind of a hurling pod tradition. We generally all have a drink of cordial while we're recording. But for example, Kieran McCarthy. Murph is a man of exquisite taste. Sparkling water and cordial is a game changer. My waddy apple and blackcurrant is my cordial of choice. And then a few other people, again, I'm just looking through the Spotify here, such as Steve Cal. I've lost all respect for the lads. Water first. What a joke. Fintan McGuinness. Saskia is the name of the sparkling water that Murph can't think of. Loses its fizz much quicker than Ballygown, though, so I can't recommend. Also, my waddy first, you animals. And I did definitely see some people saying it's psychotic behaviour, such as Sean Ryan. Water before the cordial is absolutely serial killer behaviour. And that's before Murphy is putting in sparkling water. Absolute insanity. Which has 7 likes on it. And it did come up a little bit in the YouTube, I think, as well. And also, just to apologise to AC and KK, just to make it clear, I'm not a Kilkenny fan. My name is, I'm a Cork man exiled in Kilkenny. I've now had to change my handle. So, AC and KK, thanks for getting in touch. And now we know you're not a Kilkenny fan. Mm-hmm. The serial killer claim, Skell, before we get into the hurling, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I'm not a serial killer.
Yes.
Yeah,
but he might hunt down the people in the comments. He might.
I have my ways. And I'm trying to be cordial, right? Mm-hmm. And not open up a can of whoopass on some people in the comments. You know, as that's, you warned me before, Will, about calling them names. So I'm trying to be, you know, as neutral as possible and maintain a level of control without losing my shit, okay?
This is a very restrained version of James Gale that we're getting on the podcast tonight. Maybe this is Saturdays. You know, he has now the full weekend of the child mind, and he's actually in a better mood, and he's easing himself into the weekend a little bit. So he just needs to have a go at least three or four people he's had a go at before. I might well come back to some of the comments which were having a go at you from last week, just to needle you a little bit, but we'll see how we go.
Yeah. Like that, I don't know what show it's been in America, but they do the mean comments or mean tweets.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Some of that, Murph, yeah. I'd love to respond to them. But there's one rule, though. You have to, if it's coming from Twitter or coming from YouTube, you have to have a specific, like, a name. You can't have some stupid bot name, and you have to have a profile photo. Otherwise, I don't want to hear it.
The pod is young. We may well come back to it.
As they say in poker, right? Don't ever raise if you can't match the re-raise, okay? So if you aim something at me, it's coming right back at you. And I can pick on your appearance, your name, where you're from. I'll pick on anything, okay? Just to get up on one.
I still have the YouTube comments open on my phone. I will just put them away for a second as we get into the hurling. Right. Before we get into the games themselves, right, for weekend number one, why don't we just go what everyone wants right at the start? Paul Murphy, who are your top three for Munster and why?
I think I just started there.
The league is the evidence we're basing this on, by the way, before anyone takes a moment in time and goes, oh, those three gobshites have decided X, Y, and Z. Here's the reason we're picking these three. So who are you going for?
Limerick, Cork, and Tip. The way I did it was I looked at all the fixtures and went straight head-to-head. Sometimes, like if you asked this a couple of weeks ago, you wouldn't look at the fixtures, you just go with a gut feeling, which is kind of the same thing. But I actually just looked at all the games and said, right, as a head-to-head, who do I think is going to win each of these games? Do you know the ones I found it actually hardest to pick? Was picking between Tip and Cork. That's what I found hardest. Like, so it was in that game that's actually next week. The other games, like from a gut instinct, I felt a far bit more of a lean towards one team or another in head-to-heads. But yeah, I just, from looking at form, I think it's very hard to go, for me, outside Limerick, Cork, and Tip at the moment.
Okay. Scale, top line for you, who are your three?
I have Cork, Limerick, and Tip.
Okay.
I, as mad known as this sounds, I actually think Cork are going to beat Limerick below in Cork next week.
Sorry, I didn't know we had to give them in. What order did I give them in, Will?
You gave Limerick, Cork, Tip as your order.
Yeah, okay, that's grand. I'll leave it at that. So, yeah. I couldn't remember because I didn't know we were doing 1, 2, 3.
Well, that was because Murph, I did the exact same thing as you. I ended up with a table, which is the worst thing I ever did because I started going for points for, points against, and guessing the score, which let me down a rabbit hole. So then I deleted the table, okay?
Yeah.
And then I came back straight head to head and just said who's going to top out. So I went for Cork Limerick Tip. I think, imagine a big decider is the first round for Limerick. And I think that the expansive pitch in Parkacquive could suit the Cork lads. So I'm making a call here that Cork could top of Limerick down there.
Okay. Well, look, I don't necessarily want to get into that game first because then people will say,
no, I know. You've done
exactly what people have done. You've started to overlook the Cork Tipperary game and you're talking about their beating the league final. Yeah. But just to kind of pick up that point, Scale, if you're already indicating that you think Cork are going to top the table, do you see this a bit like last year where Limerick put a marker down early doors in the Munster Championship and then Cork were able to turn things around and win on penalties in the Munster final, where we thought Limerick were quite a bit ahead of them at the start? And again, all evidence coming out of the league final, it looked like Limerick were a bit ahead of them last week. You think even in this couple of weeks where they're getting ready that Cork can actually turn this around?
I do think they can. You see, they don't become a bad team overnight. Like, if you ask me which is a stronger squad, last year's Cork or this year's squad, I would argue heavily that this year's squad in Cork is stronger. Now, what influence the management team have over the Cork side remains yet to be seen, because like Cork got on a roll last year and the whole country nearly got behind them with the sea of red that was coming and the killer song, etc., including my wife. So, you know, what we saw last year, I think, can be replicated again by Cork. Truthfully speaking, I think it can, you know. Now, they got some, like, when you consider the day of the game against Tipperary, where they got a man sent off, you know, the Limerick game and the group game itself was another, you know, issue for them. But then they rectified it in the Munster final, albeit you can say they didn't win it. They still went home with the cup, as Murph would say. You know, I fully agree with that, you say. But I just think, I have often said in this podcast about pitches and stadiums being, you know, a strength for some teams and a weakness for others. I just think that the Parkacquive, I said, you might remember, I said Cork, it gives them 5 points when they kick off. Like, so if they're playing a Parkacquive, and if it's a dry sod, which we know it will in decent weather, potentially, I always say, no matter who they're playing against, they're starting off with a 4 or 5 point lead. And so I don't think what we saw, you know, in Limerick last week was the peak of Cork's powers, to be fair. I think if you ask me what percentage they're operating, I'd give you probably a low 70s. with potential to rise up. And it is a short turnaround. Like 2 weeks is very short trying to rise it up. And they have a game. I'm not looking past Limerick, let's say, but the game they have to go to Thurles, I think it was a perfect one for them, whereby, would you use the word payback for last year's final, but you're not going to be short on motivation. You're going to have a home. I think there'll be plenty of red fans in that stadium. So I don't think the advantage of the stadium will really side with Tipperary too much. You could nearly say that the it'll be 50-50 in terms of attendance that Cork travel that well. That's the way it felt in Limerick too, would you believe, last week. How the tickets were dispersed, I don't know. But it felt like the Cork people travelled really well. When they got a score, it was like 50% there. So I don't think attendance will make an issue. But it seems to be the perfect game where Cork can make a good comeback and get the wheels back on the road again. Heading for home, I think. Nice.
Yeah, nicely set up by Scal to bring us directly into Tip versus Cork, because before we even start, I know a lot of Tipperary fans felt a little bit maligned that they were forgotten about. Everyone's been talking about Cork and Limerick off the back of the league final. People forget, well, you know, Tipperary All-Ireland champions. It's not exactly been a poor league campaign by them, and they're coming in as defending champions into that game next week against Cork as well. This is a big game though, Murph, in a lot of senses, in that Tip will want to turn over what happened against Cork a couple of years ago on their own soil. Also, you've got the All-Ireland element there that's obviously hanging over from the All-Ireland final last year. They had a few meetings last season between the league final, Munster, which Cork had won a couple, and then Tip win the All-Ireland final. And now Tip come out in their home ground, and this is the opportunity for them to get their defence of the All-Ireland series underway with the victory. So for me, this is a mouth-watering way to start. And a lot of people are like, oh, Limerick Cork can't wait for the rematch. But actually, this is the perfect game to kick things off, a repeat of the All-Ireland final from last year.
It is. It's a great way. And, you know, when you do go through the rest of the games, it's actually a really good way to look at the games, put them all down, let's say, get up the fixtures, have a look and try and go head-to-head. And you kind of really realise where some teams' years are in the balance. And, it's hard to see. And, like the likes of Waterford, you see their run, like, for example, like they have the last weekend off. So they're just into it. And they are, you know, the 4 weeks, they don't have the gap week, etc. But for Tipperary, like the way I'd classify Tipperary now is, so right, they came away, 7 points from the league, All-Ireland champions. Tip have proven that they can just take each game on game, which is a really good quality to have. Whereas I would look at Cork and say, Cork continue to kind of have this question mark over them. I thought that question mark had kind of disappeared last year at the stage when they got really good form on, and even, you know, beating Limerick in the Gaelic grounds. I was like, okay, maybe this is now the kind of watershed moment for Cork where they kick on from here. And those kind of question marks have come back. Whereas Tipperary, as we saw in the All-Ireland final last year, we saw in the semi-final as well, focusing on one game, they're so good at just doing what's necessary on that day. And that's a lot. You know, that can count as a lot when points on the board are going to be so important by the end of this Munster Championship. For me, the way I'm looking at this is that Tipperary came through the league. They had a good league. And that's not a good, like, kind of, oh, it was an average. No, they had a good league. And they got a lot of players, you know, got a lot of young players in. Darren McCarthy, I don't know what the update on Darren McCarthy is. Have we heard anything on his injury after going off in the Kilkenny match? Or didn't he have a shoulder injury? Wasn't that the last thing I heard? Maybe not. Maybe I...
I haven't heard anything since about him been out. Now, it seems a lot of the other counties were doing media. We'll talk about Waterford and Ozzie Leeson in a bit, and Cork have got a few knocks coming out of the league final. But I hadn't heard that McCarthy was ruled out anyway.
He may not be, but my last memory is that he was carrying a bit of a knock. And when you think about those things, you're thinking, right, let's say if Darren McCarthy wasn't playing, does that affect Tipperary quite a bit? You'd have to say it's a fair dent for them if he's not playing. Whereas if you look at Cork and you go, well, if Alan Connolly wasn't playing, is that a huge dent for Cork? No, because they have a few more players than Tipperary, I would argue, on the bench that they could bring in. So you're kind of saying, no, maybe not. So when I'm looking at it in the balance, it's such a tight game. But one thing that's kind of, I don't know, for me, it's kind of tipping my judgment towards Cork in this game is that Cork seem to be maybe quite poor when they're the favourite and they're out in front in terms of coming into a match and people are saying it's Cork, Cork, Cork. They tend to, at times, that's when they let you down. Let's say if you go Cork, that's the time they tend to let you down. Whereas when Cork are maybe hurting after a game and Cork are disappointed and Cork, you know, people are playing them down, this team seem to rise up to that and perform. So it's a tough one. Like the fact that when they played in Páirc Uí Chaoimh last year, Darren McCarthy was sent off just on throw-in or whatever way you want to put that one, and we didn't find anything out about him, that was really kind of a tough scenario to gauge them for the next time they met. But with here at the moment, funnily enough, I'm just leaning towards Cork a small bit here to say that if they were playing them in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I actually think in this scenario, Tip would rise right up for that and maybe, you know, get up for the day and maybe turn him over. Despite the fact I know Scahill exactly, I agree with what he's saying, that, you know, Cork love playing in Páirc Uí Chaoimh and the expansive pitch suits them. But Cork's work is very much cut out for them here. Like, they have to go and play the All-Ireland champions in their own field and perform. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that type of coming off the back of losing to Limerick and maybe having a little bit of a wobble at the end of the league, I think this is the right game for them to focus right back in on before they turn back around and face Limerick. So, like, this is literally just a gut thing. And again, this isn't me covering my bet, but, like, very easily sitting here next Sunday evening saying 6-point win for Tipperary. Do you know, that's how fine of a margin these things are. But at the moment, I'm just looking at it going, okay, a hurting Cork, you know, fantastic panel, full of skill, full of energy, all that good stuff. You know, came into the game against Limerick, started very poorly, but came back into it, did show good trades, even though we spoke very, I suppose we had a lot of negative things to say about Cork last week. There is a huge amount of positives with them. So for me at the moment, looking at it on the face of it, I'm just leaning towards Cork at the moment for this one.
So the way this game sets up for me, because we get a couple of questions during the week as well about, ask the lads what they think now about the idea of only three teams come out of the provinces because now there's no longer a Premier quarterfinals. Is that now too many teams being eliminated? Again, like, I can't help but think, either of you can disagree with me entirely here, that actually this is the joy that makes the Munster Championship as good a competition as it is, because we look at it on the face of it now. Cork go to play against Tipperary. If Cork were to lose against Tip, there's blood in the water for Limerick the next week, and Limerick can land an almost fatal blow on Cork just two rounds into the Championship. And next thing, they have to win the last three to have any chance of coming out, and it's pressure, 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 game after game after game. If it meant that only one team was being eliminated and four teams went through, this game between Tipperary and Cork in the coming week, Scale, wouldn't feel as important as it does. The reality is, whoever loses here is on the back foot straight away.
Well, you have to understand, the last championship we had before the round robin was straight knockout. So counties had a one opportunity, they went into a qualifier system. I think if you, the more opportunities you give to counties to allow them to, I won't say lose will, but to allow them to progress without winning, right? I think it dilutes the championship, to be fair. Come here, look at it. Munster people are very, very quick to compare Munster and Leinster provinces, right? Even though the three counties come out. There's obviously the sixth county in Leinster, but because there's a golfing class between both provinces, you could say, and that's just being realistic, right? There's a feel that the Leinster Championship is diluted. If you allow a fourth team go through in Munster, I think the same thing would go over to the Munster Championship. It would dilute it. And you wouldn't have the same level of excitement or anticipation. And right now, like as you said, and you said rightly, if Cork do lose to Tipperary, which is potential, possible, it makes for a fantastic week in conversation, in anticipation, in media, you know, even in training for players. It makes for a fantastic and exciting week for everybody to see a game coming up against the, you know, the juggernaut that is Limerick, and potentially be out of the championship. You know, and I know that's the first two. Like, it's a possibility. I'm just saying it's a possibility. Now, is it a probability? Most likely not. But without that, if there was a fourth team coming through and you could survive the championship by winning one game, potentially, that I think that's over delusion. Draw. That's why every team has to be prepared. You know, some teams could, like, I'll be honest, the likes of Galway Kinney, they can really time the run in the championship. You know, they don't have to be at full tilt on the 19th or 18th of April. They need to be in full tilt in kind of into May, heading towards into June, really. And that's because of the way that the Leinster Championship is structured and the teams that are in it. Not their fault, not their issue. Leinster doing what they can. If that was transferred over to Munster, you would get teams nearly potentially timing the run further down the line. Whereas now we have to be ready and on the ball nearly 2 weeks out before the championship starts, because we can get caught here. Because the pace at which the games are going to be played at are, you know, levels above than where they would be in Leinster. That's just a fact, you know. And like Murphy, you made some really good points there about the Cork situation. I always look at teams when I'm assessing teams, for example. I've jumped, Will, sorry, back to Cork and
no, Chip, no, right? Go for it, yeah.
I always look at them and I assess them from a physical perspective, technical, tactical and mental. Those four sections I look at. And so when I compare both teams and do specific ratings, I look at physical, no difference. I think everyone's fit and strong. Cork are very physical. You know, technical, no difference. Cork are excellent to the ball, so are Tip. Tactical and mental, that's where Tip will get Cork. I don't think they're going to get them in the first two avenues. So there's something about the Tipperary, and it's in other counties too, that history will carry weight, and that the players, they'll carry the history of their respective county really well, almost in a manner of swagger. if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. And Tipperary, I think, have that in abundance right now. And I was talking last week about scar tissue. The Cork lads don't have that at the minute because they haven't won in 20 years, you know. So it's going to be very hard for them to get that confidence and swagger, have not won national titles recently, whereas Tip have won just fucking 8 months ago. You know what I mean? So they have the swagger and they have the confidence. So if they can maintain the game closely, they're in with a big chance, because that's where their mental will overtake tactical. And like my big issue last week with Cork was around their puck out. If you can't win your dead ball, you're in major, major trouble, because it's like I always say, it's like the scrum going backwards in rugby. You just can't get a front foot whatsoever. All the great teams are very good in their dead ball, their own puck out, and the opposition puck out as well. And that's where Cork struggled badly on their own last week, really badly. So if they can't get that right below on Thurles, you know, now I expect them to improve. I do. I just said at the outset here, I expect them to beat Limerick below on Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and I do expect them to win in Thurles on Sunday. I do think that overall they have a better technical group, you know. But if anywhere Tip are going to attack them, it's tactical and mental. And like, we've heard nothing about Tipperary, which is great. You know, it's great for them. I've tried to do a bit of investigation. It's very hard to get news out of counties to see how teams are going. It's very, very tricky. I can't even get out of my own, Murph. I think I'm going to spill the beans. So I haven't heard an awful lot of Tipperary in the last, I suppose, the last month. Isn't that fair? Mm. Because the last game against Kilkenny was a dead rubber. It was, yeah. Mm. So we have had no real evidence of Tip in a crunch game for the best part of a month.
Mm. Mm. Look at you giving predictions I didn't even ask you for.
Sorry.
That didn't even got to that point. You went, well, I do think now Cork will win this game, and there's a very good chance they could beat Limerick as well. I fully expect it. I'm there going,
by virtue of the fact that they did call Cork top of the table, I know. You're showing your hand there that you're expecting to win.
Like, if I say Cork top of the table, and then I say, oh, Tip will beat them, Limerick will beat them.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
He's expecting wide open, just wins everywhere is what he's hoping for.
What I'm doing is I'm opening the avenue as to how I think Cork can get beaten. I don't think you beat them technically. Honestly, you won't beat them physically. They are strong and fit. You beat them tactically and mentally. That's how. But sure, how did they lose Ashes Ireland? It wasn't the first two. It was the last two. Tactically and mentally.
Well, tactically, Tipperary were well set up that day, but like there were still opportunities there. I mean, going in 6 points up at half time. Obviously, the tactical element was working to a certain extent for Tipperary, but the mental side of it came into it really in the second half. Then once Tipperary hit the back of the net. That was the huge part for him. So you're dead right. It's the tactical and mental part of it. Like, no one's questioning Cork in terms of the skill or the physicality or any of that stuff. Yeah, it's just that one area of, you know, consistently in what frame of mind do they turn up in? Like, if I was to put the two teams down and say, in terms of mentality, Tip and Cork, who's winning? I would say, well, Tip is winning, because Tip, I believe, get more out of themselves than Cork. If I'm honest, do you know,
we would have faced that against G. I'd be very honest about this, right? When you were in your pomp, right, and we were trying to ascend, you know, if the game was coming down, you know, to the last 10 minutes and it was neck and neck, it would creep into us, fuck, these guys are coming again. Do you know what I mean? And it would never be spoken collectively. You just know, like, we're going to have our, you know, our work cut out to get over E, even by a pint, where that's where E would turn the screw, you know, in the last 3 minutes, let's say.
Yeah.
So that's, and until you get over the hump, and get rid of that kind of, you know, it's very hard to eradicate that kind of mental thought. You know, so like, where Cork have been beaten, what was the stat, Will? They've lost 11 national finals since they won.
11 of the last 12, since 2005, yeah.
That's a very difficult position to overcome. I have to say, it's very difficult, you know. And it takes knocking the door down and knocking it and until it opens, right? But as a group, look, you have to, I suppose, develop ferocious mental strength to knock the door down, and I'm just not sure is it in them yet. You can have abundance of confidence when things go well, but when things are going bad, can you be as confident and play as well? That's just the only little caveat, I'd say.
Yeah.
Last tricks I have over there, that's all.
Even really, just like what you were saying there as well about like the Munster Championship, like when you look at the first two games that we have, Clare and Waterford and Tip and Cork, and you can make predictions on them as standalone games, but if any of those predictions, which invariably will happen, I'm contradicting myself in one way where I'm saying this is who I think is coming out of Munster, but because the Munster Championship is the way it is, and the beauty of it is that games won't go the way you expected them to go. So that's
the remember the two draws last year. We kind of went, oh, let's throw all our predictions.
We actually knew nothing afterwards. But the thing is, if we look at it this way, right? Yeah, we knew we were no different. We thought, okay, once the first weekend is done, we'll know loads after that. But let's say hypothetically, right? We've Clare and Waterford, and we've Tip and Cork. Right, these aren't my predictions, but let's say, for example, Waterford beat Clare and Tip beat Cork. So Clare then go, okay, that was 2 points that we probably subconsciously had in the back of our mind. Now we have to go and find, we're going to get to 4 points somewhere here anyway to get out of Munster, at least 4 points. Mm. Now what matches are they looking at? And the pressure becomes different. The expectation becomes different. Cork, if they're beaten by Tipperary, now face back into Limerick in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, where, okay, they're at home, but there's an expectation on their shoulders now that if you don't win this, you're running the risk of maybe not getting out of Munster. So the results on the first weekend could drastically affect. And that's going back to the point that you were saying there as well, Will, about, and we probably have this conversation every year, but the extra team. That extra team, if that was the case where four teams come out, coming out of Munster with 2 points on the board, unless one team gets a wooden spoon and then you have four teams and the fourth team has 2 points, there's no real, like, there's no real standard there in terms of a team having to reach the 4 points, having to get the 2 wins to get out. That doesn't put as much pressure on teams. It's so at the sweet spot at the moment that so much goes out the window if the 4 team goes through. And again, I know we have this conversation every year, but it's almost like after the Munster Championship, and we'll probably have it again this year, people will forget about that. They'll go, but how can we not? At the moment, and on a bigger point, at the moment, teams have never been playing as many matches if you don't get out of your province. Like previously before, and people often, again, it's another point we often talk about here, is people often romanticise about straight knockout hurling. And who was it? Desi Hutchinson was saying knockout hurling. Imagine we're in a scenario here where Clare, Waterford, Tipper, Cork, one of them or two of them are out of the championship next weekend in May. Yep. It doesn't make sense, you know? So that's the justification for the 3 teams. And then also it's the justification for the round robin and no knockout hurling, that at the very worst, you're going to see these teams playing 4 times this year.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit more open to the idea as well if there were 4 really competitive teams in Leinster and you were mirroring the championship as well. Then I could see the argument, and maybe you don't want dead rubbers in the last round. The reality is Galway and Kilkenny are pretty assured about being in the top 3 pretty much every season. Dublin have now emerged as a strong contender to be regularly in the top 2, whatever, but in the top 3. You'd expect those 3 to qualify. Even with Wexford's recent downturn in form, Wexford would be very hopeful of being that 4 team. And then the 2 teams at the bottom who are scrapping for relegation, the best they could hope for is to finish in 4th place. And as we've seen in recent seasons, Galway and Kilkenny generally put a score on those bottom 2. Galway and Kilkenny will be qualified after 2 rounds and the championship will be even lesser than it is right now. Because at least right now you're chasing to try and get in a top 3. If it meant that you could finish top 4, win 2 games and you're qualified, it wouldn't really matter. Like, It would render a lot of these games where at least Dublin Wexford has felt like it's had something on the line the last few seasons. Because like, if you're out good, if you're going to get to a provincial final, you 100% have to win it. If you're going to be top 3, you want to win it. If they knew that they could actually afford to lose that and still beat the bottom 2 and qualify,
the hurling year doesn't really start until after the provincials at that stage. Then,
That's it. I mean, you basically would devalue the provincials for the sake of keeping 8 teams in it, effectively. Mm-hmm. And I think not having a Premier quarterfinal is no harm either. Like, I'm perfectly okay with the quarterfinals being the next round after that. Beating finalists versus third, move on, go to the semi-finals, win your province, you get the bonus of going straight through and you get an extra couple of weeks break. Fair enough. Again, for right now, and I'm totally open to us discussing structured again next year, because we probably will, but right now, I'm happy enough with this one. So, as Murph has already said, we've got some tasty fixtures on weekend number 1. So we're going to kick things off with Munster, which is the Sunday doubleheader of games on the TV and in terms of games we're going to watch. So first one is in Ennis. We've got Clare against Waterford, which is at 2 p.m. and we've got Tipperary against Cork at Semple Stadium on 4 p.m. Tasty indeed. And the week of the league champions, Limerick, having their bye week right at the very start. So you've already said, Skelly, you kind of fancy Cork to go up and win in Semple Stadium. What is it about Cork going into this weekend that's made you confident about them winning it? Because last week, all 3 of us were accused of doing a podcast with green jerseys and we didn't talk about Cork, and all we want to do is have a go at Cork. And here you are now, weekend number 1, saying they're going to turn over the All-Ireland champions away from home. So why?
I would disagree with that notion that we had green jerseys on.
I do too. I'm being entirely facetious. Whoever thought that was clearly a Cork fan who felt...
And they were riddled in emotion, let's say, but there was levels. There was levels of separation between both teams last weekend. So I don't think we got a true reflection of Cork last weekend. I think they have, as I said, they had to make improvements. I said, particularly around their tactical side and their own puck out. And I don't think they were at the pace of the game. And I kept saying, you know, on radio during the day that Limerick came to play and Cork just didn't come to that level. It's like, we associate Cork with levels. We've seen levels in the last year. And they had one blip, I would have to say. And that was in the second half in the Ireland final. And I can't get it out of my head for reasons, but I put that aside for the moment, right? But they have so much ability in their squad. And like, as I said from the outside, I think their squad is stronger. I do think their squad is stronger this year than it is last year. I think they have more power, firepower in the forwards. I think that's a fact. And I just, as I went through it, I said on the physical and technical side, you know, they are well matched with Richard Pereira. I just think that they're a better all-round, you know, unit when they click. Now, that's the key thing to say here. Right? I'm not trying to shit on Tipperary. I'm going to say when Cork click, they're very, very hard to stop. They're extremely hard to stop. When they get motoring, they're probably the most impressive team in the country. I think that's fair to say. But to get them motoring is the hard part. So I'm expecting Cork to get motoring. They don't need motivation to say to you, their loss last year against the team they're facing on Sunday, you know, is enough motivation. Forget about the league. It's parked. It's over. You start afresh. We have a new championship to take part in now. And it's time to, you know, lower the blade, as they say, Will, right? So, and when you do a balance of team overall, I just think it's going to be hard for Tipperary against a team at the level of Cork and Limerick in future, right, to get back up to the levels that they showed in the second half of the Ireland final last year. I think it's going to be hard to replicate that day in, day out. Murph made a great point about Tipperary's capability of getting to an individual game each day. I agree with you completely. Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I think they'll overturn Clare and Waterford, right, personally. But to keep that going, Duff, I would say 4 days in a row is going to be extremely hard for them. I just don't think they have the same level of firepower that Cork have. That's all. So I put great value on the likes of what you said, Murph, about McCarthy, about Jake Morris, about Andrew Arnold, the centre, you know, about Connors, about Warren Maher, these lads. But I just think it's very hard to keep that going the whole time. Everything clicked from last year, you have to say. It was a great success story with McCarthy coming on the scene, Rhys Shelley hopping into goals halfway through, Noel McGrath making his, you know, kind of his appearances, you'd say, midway in the second half and pulling the strings, or Oisin Donoghue coming in and causing hassle in the full forward line. Now every team, right, is forewarned and is informed of what Tipperary did last year. Now they're all informed. Now they've been reviewed to death. They've been analysed to death by all the teams that are playing. And so it's very hard to bring a new surprise. So what Tip generated last year, I think would be sufficient for some games, but might be insufficient for others.
Interesting. He's given away his mini table there by saying they're not going to beat Limerick and they're not going to beat Cork, but they'll win the other two games and qualify. So
I did say Cork Limerick Tip, didn't I?
You did. No. Just I'm able to kind of reverse engineer your table that you threw away now at this point and what you've said there. I think as well, Murph, when it comes to Tipperary, they have none of the emotional baggage whatsoever. Because again, no. I remember doing a night with Liam Cal after they won the All Ireland. My first thought was, he was kind of mentioning how now everybody in the panel has got this experience of an All-Ireland. And even the young players that they're bringing through will probably have been on an All-Ireland minor or 20 team in recent seasons. So they have the experience of winning big games. They've got that when they come in, even if it's a freshness of lads that come into the panel now, underage successes right behind them. And all that group of players last year went to Croke Park and beat Cork in an All-Ireland final. So I think they're in a really good mental headspace going into the season now. And particularly when you've got such a young panel, that's a great thing to have, isn't it?
Yeah, like the conversations that Liam would have been having with Tipperary last year are different to this year. Because last year he would have been almost saying, like, you know, why can't we? You know, we can go to the summit, we can do this, we're aiming for an All-Ireland, and trying to get lads on the bandwagon and believe in that and giving them, pointing, you know, towards the games or the characteristics in games that they're displaying, that if we put all these things together, why can't we? But still, you're relying on players there to buy in and to trust that they can do that. Now that they've gotten to the summit, they have that inbuilt into them automatically, and that does bring a huge belief, and it gets a monkey off their back, for one thing, because, like, you know, how many times, and if you go back, you don't have to go too far back to see, you know, Liam Cal after games being questioned by journalists and asking, you know, should you have done this? Should you have done that? And there was real pressure on Tipperary panel. But even if Tipperary, let's say, if Tipperary don't go too far this year, for example, not wishing that on them whatsoever, I'm just saying, they have an All-Ireland in the bank where they have currency with the supporters. You know, they've gone to the summit and they've done it fantastic. Whereas if they didn't win the All-Ireland last year, the pressure on them this year is a little bit different. That's when we flip over to Cork and we're looking at Cork. Cork have that pressure on them. And some days there's a little bit more pressure than other days. But Tipperary, yeah, to bring it back to your question, like, Tipperary are going into games now, and those younger players who are 21, 22, they're full of belief going into games. So there's no belief element with Tipperary. And even, to be honest, I'd say with those Tip lads, even before they had the All-Ireland, they were still happy enough to get up in lads' faces and, you know, stick it to teams and throw everything at them. So that's kind of what I mentioned earlier. They'll play a game and they'll throw everything at it. If it's good enough, it's good enough. If it's not, it's not. But I think some people might find it strange that, you know, Tip and Cork, but we're going for Cork here. I think our view of Cork is kind of skewed by the fact that they were beaten by Limerick just last week, where if you look at Tipperary, Tipperary won the All-Ireland from coming third in Munster last year. So that goes to show you that even though they were All-Ireland champions last year, they weren't flawless in Munster. And you have to ask yourself, why weren't they flawless in Munster? Say, well, okay, people again maybe make a very valid argument that, well, they played 14 and 15 against Cork and Páirc Uí Chaoimh. You know, if they didn't do that, then maybe they come second. Yep, I get all those things. But I just think that when Tipperary come into straight shootout games, they're absolutely fantastic. But if their panel gets a little bit depleted and maybe they don't have the starting lineup that, you know, they don't have their Andrew Ormonds or their Jake Morris, if one of them gets sidelined, they're a little bit more vulnerable than Cork. And again, we're saying this, we're looking at this through the lens of, we don't even know, like, the teams are going to be picked in about a week. We're not going to hear about these teams for another 6 days from where we're standing. Do you know, a lot can happen in that time. But my gut instinct of looking at Cork is just that they can afford a small bit more, a few more injuries. They have a few more lads come in, all those things. And now that they're hurting, I'm kind of going, do you know, if I was in this situation, and believe it or not, you might think it's silly, but if I was looking at Cork after winning the league final last week, I might actually feel they're in a little bit more of a vulnerable position, because exactly what I was saying there a few minutes ago, that when they're up there and they're right up at the top and they're the favourites, they leave themselves open to a bad performance. But when I see them hurting, and I go back, I bring it back to playing against Limerick in the semi-final in 24, you know, where they were absolutely unbelievable in that semi-final, but they came into it hurting and they came into it sore. So that's why, you know, Tipperary people might be looking at it saying, how are you going with Tipperary? How are you going with Cork over the All-Ireland champions? There's so many nuances to these things in terms of picking them out. And I'll happily sit here on Sunday night if Tipperary beat them and it's a fantastic performance and a great game. No problem. I'll eat all the humble pie you want. There's no issue whatsoever. But you have to go with your gut instinct on these things. And I'm going to give Cork the benefit of the doubt on this one in that scenario.
That's fair enough. The injury news from the Cork camp, by the way, because there was a press night earlier this week where Ben O'Connor was talking, and it looks like Sean O'Donoghue is out for the weekend to come. So he had a hamstring issue that he was carrying going into the game last week at the Gaelic grounds, and he went off at half time, and he explained that the hamstring has been giving him trouble for a while. So he says he's in bother for round one, reckons that he's going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks. So he could well miss the Limerick game as well. So they were waiting at that time. I think that was Monday or Tuesday when they did the press night to get the exact results from the scans. But he's probably going to be out for this week. He also mentioned the fact that wasn't the most helpful, that national TV last week. You basically had Don Logue going, you know what, Tipper a bit, they're a little bit patchy, aren't they? You know, they rise and fall really, really quickly, and maybe the fall is on the way next week against Cork, without having said it. Everything was between the lines a little bit, but the Tip fans, as we saw, even responding to our pod last week, were just so annoyed by it and so ignited by it. And I think Cork are probably very mindful as well of the fact that all of the talk last season contributed somewhat to the noise around the team. Yeah. Whether that was bookmakers paying out, whether that was whatever, whether that was, oh, sure, they're already All-Ireland champions. I'd say now Ben O'Connor would just like a year where none of that is talked and they're not talked up during the year at all, and they can just kind of keep
every manager would love that, though, wouldn't they? Like, every manager in every sport would. I can't think of another manager who wants to be the centre of attention and wants the outside talk to be as chaotic as that. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's an extreme example, but I think even for Tipperary fans, some of them during the year were saying to us, oh, you're going on about this Galway revival and you're going on about the way Limerick are playing and whatever. What about the All-Ireland champions? And I'd be like, under the radar. You go through the league campaign, no great concerns, no massive injuries. Doesn't look like you've dropped off the form from last season. Just keep rocking and go into the Munster Championship now and try and take down Cork. I actually, to be honest, I know you're going for Cork. I give Tip every chance of winning this game on Sunday afternoon. I kind of half fancy Tip to win.
Well, like you were saying, you asked Skettle earlier and thought it was interesting, where you were like, what makes you so sure that Cork... I'm not sure about this at all. Like, I'm picking a team here and I'm going, oh, just about hair's breadth Cork. This isn't me going, oh, I cannot see how Tipperary are going to win this game. I watch this game, and if I see, like, you'll know in the first 10 minutes nearly, in terms of what, if Tipperary arrive, you know, fire and brimstone, you're going, okay, this we bought. And if Cork look flat, you're going, oh, Jesus, right. Even the net gets hit early, you know, Tipperary rattle the net, you go, oh, Jesus, grand. Yeah. I'm not sure about this at all. And that's the only thing I'll nail my colours to the mast.
But you're right, Murph, because there's no value in backing another team. If I was going to book this morning, I'd be back in the draw to get value. Yeah. You wouldn't back either team.
I don't think I've ever, I'm not sure if I've ever gone for a draw. Like, I looked at these, I didn't pick one draw. Will there be a draw in the Munster Championship? Probably. You'd imagine there'd be a draw at some stage. But I looked at all the fixtures I picked, not one draw. So invariably there, I'm going to be wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, so.
We go picking draws, and next thing there's none this year. Because I don't think we picked a single draw on any of the predictions last season. And then
it'd be very boring podcast stuff. We just keep throwing draws out
there. It would be. Do you know what? On the punditry side of things, it sounds like you're really, and I appreciate sometimes you think that a game is genuinely that close that you think it could finish a draw, but it always sounds like you're trying to not annoy either set of supporters, and you go, I'll sit in the fence here. Or I hate when the predictions are on, particularly the radio on a Friday morning, where you only have the chance to distill everything down to one line, and you just go, you know, home advantage might be vital here, but I wouldn't be surprised if the away team were to get a result. It's like, that is not a prediction. That is literally you just covering both sides.
Morph, do you remember season one, do you? This podcast, though.
Uh-oh.
Go on, are you going to give me an example or something?
Jeez, man, you were hard to get off the fence. But we got you off it over time. We got you off it over time. Will, back me up here.
He was definitely very careful and very polished by comparison.
I may go back and listen to something, But then I absolutely ripped the bandit off by saying Cork were going to beat Waterford by like 10 points one day, and Waterford won.
For me, Paul Murphy from Kilkenny all changed when he said Taylor Swift the bitch. What happened there?
It all turned, Yeah.
It was like he got an earring and started smoking or something. It's like, what is this new attitude about this Paul Murphy fella that's on this podcast? But
there you go.
Right, so you're both going for Cork. I'm going for Tip on weekend one when it comes to that game. That is, I think, with no disrespect to any of the year fixtures, game of the weekend. But the other game in Munster, Skell, this is tasty too. This is Clare against Waterford. The Waterford team news, it looks like Jamie Byrne probably won't be fit for this one, but it's very close to coming back. And also Peter Queeley has mentioned the fact that Ozzie Gleeson is now back in training. I don't think we expect Ozzie Gleeson to play. I thought his line was interesting, though. He said he's working very hard and has put himself in contention to play. No more so than the Liam Rush argument, though. I think it's very difficult to bring someone in out of the cold, isn't it? That if you were to expect Ozzie Gleeson to start next week. But maybe he's on the bench.
Yeah, I think it's very hard to get them to be an influencer in the game, let's say, from the very beginning. I think it's more so if he comes in and let's say, situates himself somewhere in the forwards, wing forward or full forward, that's probably where you'll see him at the beginning. It's just very hard to get up to the pace of it. And if you ask him to get up to the pace of it in the first round of the Munster Championship, that's just a bit too much to ask for me, unless he's got a major body of work done in the last while, which I don't think he has. But for me, for Waterford all the time, when I look with him, it's always a question of personnel that's available in key positions. They need to have Prunty, De Burke, Barron, you know, Lyons, Desi. They have to have them as there, or else Waterford just become a different team, to be honest. So when you're on about injury situations, I always, for most counties, I would say they can carry a certain amount of injuries. For Waterford, I would say they can carry a lot. Especially up the middle, they can't carry a lot. They need to have everyone fit and available because their squad depth is not of what we see in others, Cork, Limerick, and Clare inclusive, I think. So from injury perspective, if we're thinking that they have a clean bill of health, bar that of Jamie Byrne's a huge loss to us. He's still their energetic little energizer bunny running around the middle there, that pulls the strings and comes down with a couple of points. So he's a big loss for Waterford. And that does change an element of the game for them, But for me, Home venue, Clare, energy, regardless of what the competition they won, they still won and came through it. There are a bit of momentum behind them. Again, QZ Park is one of those really tough places to go, especially when the crowd are behind you. A really hard place to go. Again, availability. So when I was assessing the game last week, I was looking at Tony Kelly thinking, is he carrying an injury? Is he hurt? But he looked to be moving nimbly. So I'm going to say, err on the side that he's going to be fit. Adam Hogan, we don't know. Dave McNerney, we don't know. Shane Donnelly went off, but I think that was precaution. Jeff Fitzgerald went off, again, precaution. Mark Rogers, we don't know. So if Clare come with a full bill of health and Watt for Barron, it's a Clare victory for me. But if there's personnel missing for Clare, that swings the tide big time. And that's why it's very hard to call now, because what Clare are we going to see? If they come with a full 15 that we've seen win their Ireland 2 years ago or 18 months ago, I think no problem, they'll overtake Watford here. But again, remains to be seen. And I think there's probably Clare people pissed off with some of the... And probably me inclusive, though. I got a lot of text messages this week, Will, from lads comparing them to junior teams. I said, no, lads, no, I'm not comparing it to a junior team. I said, the quality of contest was like a junior game. I said, the quality of contest, but it's in the locker. You don't go from winning Ireland, 2 years ago or 18 months ago, to suddenly just being, fifth in Munster automatically. So it's still in. Now, someone said, it was a couple of weeks ago, that nobody was allowed to leave their panel, I think, at the end of last year's championship, that they were going for one last push. I would have thought myself in 2024 that was the last push, personally. And that after last year, we would have seen a few retirements. So, and they're coming back. It's very hard to get that last push. You can push again if you get major help from youth coming through. And I just don't think they've got the body of youth coming through at the minute. in pivotal positions. So they're depending, I think, on, you know, the Old Guard. Now, the Old Guard, I think, will get them to a point, but to get them to the promised land in up the Hogan Stand, I'm just not so sure. I'm not convinced at all. But to overtake Waterford on the weekend, I would say yes.
Yeah. Like, I take your point about personnel. We have to wait and see who's fit, who's not fit, and whatever else. And, like, Rodgers even said in the post-match interview, he seemed to have hurt his ankle, but he's hoping that he's going to be okay for this game. And, again, there's a lot of kind of unknowns with other fitness. And, like, if they have, say, Tony Kelly, Mark Rodgers available, and say Shane O'Donnell's able to go from the start, straight away, it's like, look, this team has got that bit of fairy dust in the forwards straight away before you even start. And they want David Fitzgerald, obviously, to be fit to start as well. I kind of wonder, Murph, and again, I hate to bring all this back down to psychology, but this is what happens when we're a week out from championship and we're basing this on what we've seen so far this year. What's very different for Clare compared to the summer of 25 is that they knew they had people that were missing summer of 25 and they were going to have to slot back in. The league campaign had been miserable, and that kind of hung over a little bit into starting Munster, and you can't afford of a poor start, and they left themselves with too much to do. This time around, at the very least, they're coming off the back, and I know people will say, look, 1B is not the same quality and whatever else, but Clare have found their way into the year. They've come out of 1B now with a 100% record, and mentally they're in a very different place than where they were at the start of Munster last season.
They are, yeah, and there hasn't been a lot of talk about them either. Like, it's not easy being All-Ireland champions the following year, because people automatically are judging you off last year and waiting for you to either fall or say why you won't win the All-Ireland. That's the majority of the conversation a lot of the times. Are you going to do the two in a row? So all that's gone, and the fact that they were in 1B as well, I'm not going to say like it was a positive, but if there was positives from it, you're tipping away under the radar. And it's probably very similar to the point I think, yeah, Will, you were making the point there about where Tipperary people were maybe unhappy that we weren't speaking about them, but you were saying that it's brilliant not to be spoken about. It's brilliant, you know, a preparation that you can just tip away in the background. Clare have been nicely just doing that. And that luxury again, and I would have mentioned it maybe at the start of the league, where they have the luxury of introducing Shane O'Donnell or Tony Kelly or David Fitzgerald, lads with miles on the clock, sparingly into games, depending on what way. Like, say, this week you might play Antrim, we're playing Down next week, you're not playing Down, but we'll have you back against Kildare, etc. They were able to do that really well. And when I saw them then against Dublin last week, you know, I was looking there without Tony Kelly and taking off Shane O'Donnell and David Fitz at half time. Shane O'Donnell at full forward, and how not only did he get his scores and show how dangerous he still is, but how he brought Shane Meehan, not brought Shane Meehan into the game, Shane Meehan was involved in the game, but Shane Meehan played so well off him that I was looking at this going, okay, there's a few things going on here. You throw Tony Kelly back in around centre forward here and have him doing that Roman magical role that he does, that's very dangerous. And then suddenly you throw Davy Fitzgerald, the powerhouse that he is running, Dermot Ryan, all these lads, you go, geez, you know, even okay if McInerney's missing and he's injured, they have a strong team still, and a team that, will it win the All-Ireland? Who knows? But will it take a lot to beat them? Yeah. So that's why I'm looking at them now, and you probably mentioned it there with Waterford as well. You're just looking going, Waterford, you know, great time for them, but at the moment you're looking going, where in a man-to-man basis can they go and beat Clare at the moment? And I'm not ruling out either the fact it's on in Ennis as well. Do you know, like, those things all count. Clare traditionally play very well at Ennis. I know people will point out maybe a few blips on the radar along the way, but traditionally Clare play really well at Ennis. So I think Clare come into this Munster Championship in a very favourable manner. Maybe some of their supporters would like them to be played up a little bit more. I'd be saying, look, don't worry about that. You're playing the first weekend, you're off the second weekend, a few 2 points under the belt, and then you're playing Limerick at home then in the third round. That's not a bad way to be going into the Munster Championship. But I do think, I don't think they're up against it here now against Waterford. I give Clare the win in this one. But the other fixtures are going to be very tough for them. And I said it from the point of view that, look, there's some serious panel out there. You can't talk about the Munster Championship being competitive as it is, but then also expect that, you know, you're going to maybe just do enough each year just to get through and get out of Munster. Unfortunately, two of these teams are not going to get out, and I think it's the two in the first game on Sunday. I think they're the two teams that don't come out, but I think Clare have more of a cause to argue that they can get maybe take that third spot in Munster over Waterford. I just don't see Waterford doing it this year, as much as I thought at the start of the league, you know what, beating Limerick, huge performance against Kilkenny, these lads could go places. I just don't see where that's going to come from at the moment.
Yeah, so those Waterford fixtures, their home games this season are Tipperary and Cork, and the away games are Clare Weekend 1, and then they've got Limerick away from home as well. So Davies, last year they played really well in Ennis, probably unlucky not to win that one, and ultimately it was the kind of defining factor about getting out of the province or not. But the one thing about Waterford as well, Scale, I can't overlook the fact different managers, different systems, all of that. Waterford's round robin record is appalling.
It's been abysmal, yeah. It's been truly terrible. I think this we're going in, bar the COVID year, Will, I think this is going into year 9, is it, or year 8 of the Robin Championship.
God, we're getting old. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but I've again, someone had it up on Twitter. Fair play to them. I can't remember the person who said it, but they've only won, is it 2 games?
Is that it?
Something that low. Like, again, open to correction. I have to fact check that myself. But when you go start going back through, Murphy, you go, geez, they didn't win that year. They didn't win that year. And see, the COVID year is the year they got up to the final, wasn't it? So that wasn't the round robin year per se. So when you look at the statistics, that year is obviously an asterisk. It's out.
It was 21, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. 21, yeah, right, yeah. So that, that record is very hard. And we can't sit here and talk about Cork and their difficulties in national titles and then give some, good grace to Waterford in the Munster Championship without comparing them with scar tissue. They're like for like, if you ask me. Waterford. But the trouble is, I think Cork have the strength of panel and the quality of player that on their day they can beat anyone and get over their final hump, right? Waterford, I don't believe, have the strength of panel and strength of player to contest Munster year in, year out, straight up at the moment. And it's very hard for me to say that the future looks bright because, again, you said about their senior round robin championship, their underage has been as tough. It has. That's been reality. It's been as tough. Their 20s and their minors have faced tough years over the last 5 years. So hoping to get top quality players that can slot in like a Darren McCarthy-esque is tough. And if you don't have that rejuvenation of panel every year, it's so hard to compete with the big counties. The Corks and Limericks and Antipiris as well. So hard to compete. And ultimately,
they're a really good minor team a couple of years ago, but because it's under 17 now, it takes a while for those guys to come to the age. Yeah.
Like, and I will say it's a rarity you get someone like McCarthy who slots in so fast and becomes so influential for a senior team. If you have a good minor team, you are waiting for them to come in out of minor and, let's say, probably 4 years later or 5 years later before they come influential. So having McCarthy coming in on the first year, 2 years out of minor, that's like finding the rare diamond in the rough. Not going to happen every year, lads. Not going to happen for every county either. Again, they'll talk about our own county in Aran Island. No guarantee, lads, he makes the same influence that McCarthy did. Might make an influence for 3 or 4 years at all. But that's the expectancy now that McCarthy has opened the door for it. Back to my point about Waterford, I just don't see the panel strength there. So it's hard for me to say that their record in Munster is going to improve dramatically. I just can't see it. Just cannot see it. It's the championship is tiered, and unfortunately, the Waterford at the bottom is here. And if you debate me in that, and you argue heavily that I'm wrong, it's because you're being emotional about it, and you're probably from Waterford. You can't see the leaves in the trees. Like we're none of us from Waterford. We're thinking logically. We're assessing the record at present and all over the past in Munster, and you can't deny that they're just they're up against it in the future.
Yeah, I think if they get out, it's going to be their home form. It's whether they pick up at Walsh Park is going to determine whether they get out or not, and it's a big ask to turn over either Tipperary or Cork at home. Two All-Ireland finalists from last year.
Yes, we'll have to get out of the miracle. Honestly.
I know, but if you don't win those two games, you're looking at having to either win at Clare or win at the Gaelic Grounds.
Yeah.
Now, that's a tough ask. Just like straight out, it is difficult.
Yeah, very.
You're probably, if you're fancying getting out, you would have wanted, in their case, as Murph has already outlined, these are the two teams he doesn't expect to get out. You'd want to start with Clare at home. And try and get 2 points on the board then. And then you basically look at either to turn over Tip or Cork at home. You get to 4 points, and 4 points could be enough to be in the top three. I think it's a big ask. I think they're up against it this year, 100%.
Yeah.
Clare, I don't know. Obviously, if they win this, it's 2 points on the board. Then straight away, we're talking about Clare being right in the picture to finish in the top three. But it's just so, so important they win this coming weekend. It's all that momentum gets derailed a little bit if they were to drop points.
If they were playing somebody else and they had 2 points on the board after round one, I'd say, yeah, I agree with your sentiment there. But because
you think this is an expected 2 points?
There's an expected 2 points. I think this is the absolute minimum to finish. If they finish fourth, they finish with a minimum 2 points. So it's not this game I'm looking at them to judge Clare. We'll judge them to a degree, right? Yeah, but we're not going to put we're playing with house money when we're looking at Clare at the moment. So I'd be confident to place the bet on Clare, but when you go through the fixtures, it's hard for me to put a bet on them after that.
I do appreciate that. Okay. We take a break for a second. The podcast, of course, here on Off the Ball, the Hurling Pod all year, is with thanks to Apple Green. They're our sponsors. They're also sponsors of Hurling on Off the Ball throughout the season. They are helping you relax, recharge, and enjoy the journey ahead. When we come back in a sec, we're going to talk about the Leinster Championship.
The Hurling Pod
on Off the Ball
with Apple Green, making every journey better.
Now, a line in the sand in the middle of this podcast for this week there, where we go from Munster into Leinster. It's not because I had to go and record the bulletin for Today FM in the middle of the Masters on a Saturday night, where I'm accepting the fact that they're still going to be playing until midnight tonight because of the late tea times. It's just because we felt we had to put a break in the middle. So if that's who you're joining us now, that's why it happened. Right. Before we get into Leinster itself, we had a question that came in on the Instagram. So I'm trying to give everyone a bit of love this week. Tiernan Dunn is in contact. Hi, Will. Hope all is well. I have a quick question after listening to this week's pod. Paul was chatting about Cork being too emotionally up for the game. Let me think. Do Paul or James think that you can actually tell who's going to win just purely, and this could be a junior club or intercounty, by the warm-up of both teams? From games I've been at, it seems a trend I've noticed. Keep up the good work with the podcast. Have you ever looked at that and went, geez, that team looks beaten before they even go out?
I wouldn't say beaten, but more often than not, I think it's fairly evident if a team is sharp. Like if a team is, one of the things I look for, if a warm-up is noisy, like if a warm-up is loud, like people are communicating and they're sharp and you hear the ball slapping around, that's one of the things where you're like, oh, God, right, these guys are, and if the warm-up itself physically, lads are, you know, moving fast, moving sharp, and they're very, those things you're looking at, I think going, God, these guys are sharp. I'm trying to think of an example where I thought a team was flat. I don't overly remember. The funny thing with these things as well is sometimes after the game, you have a kind of a bias in you when you look at it and you go, geez, I was looking at these lads before the game and they look sharp and these lads look flat. And it, sure enough, it fit into the game. Mightn't have been the reason. It might have been an indicator, all right. But I often find that definitely, and I, like, Skell, you'd even notice this as well. Like, when you're doing a warm-up on the field yourself, and you look down the far end, and the boys, if they're flying it and stuff, you're kind of be going, yeah, these boys are up for it today, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's an indication there at times, but I don't think I've ever come away from a game, and I'll throw it back in if it comes to me during the pod. I don't think I've ever had a game where I went, oh, I knew before the match that those lads were going to lose because of the warm-up. You can see if a team is 5% off or something, maybe, but I was never that convinced, but maybe something will come to me in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. What do you reckon? You've had both sides, a bit of coaching, you would have been going through warm-ups and stuff as well.
So it's when you're going through warm-up yourself, it can be tricky to get an assessment of the other team. But I will say, I did go through a warm-up against Tipperary in 2016, where we were late to the stadium, because the county board didn't book us a Gardaí escort. And that was the way, that was where, like, we got on the field, we had no chance for, you know, the activation work we have in the stand, went out very, very rushed. Everything felt rushed, and didn't perform well, you know, the whole team. That's the one that Canning got injured, Aidan Toohey got injured, and I think it was solely down to preparation. We didn't have the full extent of preparation. That's when a warm-up doesn't feel like you're in your good zone. You're not able to roll into the game, like you're sprinting into the game without having the work done. That's where it felt bad. So I can say I was part of that, right? In terms of watching teams, I always assess teams if I'm coaching. Like, if they're doing things really well that require no skill, I'd say, geez, that's the sign of a good team. So I'm saying if they're running hard, tackling hard, you know, talking loudly, praising each other, you know, moving with zip, that requires no skill whatsoever. That's a team that's up for it. You know, everyone's going to have a good touch, catch the ball and shooting, etc. But in the first 5 minutes, I can tell you then if we're in trouble against a team. That's playing against them, obviously, and coaching. If they're, as I said to you, like in rugby, Will, if the defensive line comes up quick and they're over the ball quick on the ruck, shit, this is going to be a tough, let's say, day for the opposition. In hurling, if they're doing everything that requires no skill, where if they're throwing bodies at tackles, they're committed to it. And I love to hear teams praising each other. You know, when things are, and doing simple things, like Murph talked about last week about the six forwards raising the hurdles. Do not discount the level of pressure that puts on an opposition goalkeeper or defender. You know, or running hard yards. The Jake Morris one I was telling you about, Will. Mm. I know that goes on into the body of the game, and you don't tell that from the warm-up per se, but you can, teams give energy off their emotion, you know. Mm. It's very hard to get energy off doing a personal skill like a strike or a pickup, right? So they get energy collectively. So for you to get energy, I need energy off you, Murph. I need something off you. That could be just a little praise element. That could be like me passing the ball to you when you turn it back saying great pass, or vice versa, right?
Yeah.
Then you start feeding off each other, and the group then collectively gets great energy. So you're either energy giver or energy taker. And sometimes you get players in your teams that, you know, they make technical errors all the time, and then they start giving out. That's an energy taker. And you've seen that in teams at plenty, right? But if you're in a warm-up and you've got loads of energy, it's hard then to stop that momentum going into the game. It's fucking very hard.
Yeah.
So, but to answer that person's question, it's very hard to determine if a team is on or not, you know, from the get-go, unless you can assess their energy.
Yeah. Weekend one, Leinster Senior Hurling Championship then. Was his own Cody talking about this? The Leinster launch just a few days ago. It was on the Kinley Castle, and it was kind of like, yeah, you know, you want to go and use the energy of what happened the last time you went to Salt Hill, where Kilkenny took that worst beating since the 1950s. Does it have any relevance, Murph, that game a few weeks ago? Because the first thing we said after that was, as long as Kilkenny aren't like that in 6 weeks' time, it doesn't really matter.
And of course it does have relevance, because it'll be addressed in training, in the preparation, briefly. You know, you're not gonna ponder on it too much. But, you know, I'd be thinking Derek and the management would be saying, like, you know, lads, what we stood for that day up in Salt Hill is just, you know, that's not us, that we don't stand for that. It's unacceptable. And that's the kind of narrative we've been hearing from the players. I think Keane Kenny had been interviewed, Owen Cody, etc. I think Mossy was interviewed. And, like, they were all saying things that we kind of expected anyway, is that, like, you know, they were hugely disappointed in it. So does it matter? It does, because they won't want that to happen again. And I think the players themselves will be eager to start well on Saturday against Galway to make sure. So it does in that regard. Does it matter in terms of, does it decide the result? It doesn't decide the result, no. But, you know, if Galway start really well, will it creep into the Kilkenny lads' minds? I think that's where Kilkenny are going to focus on a really good start. It's a cliche. And maybe some people will say, well, doesn't every team focus on a really good start? Well, you know, Cork didn't get a good start against Limerick. I'm sure they thought they wanted a good one, but they didn't have a good start. I just think that Kilkenny will really focus on that, because maybe it touches back to what we're saying there about the warm-up and the energy and being involved in the game. If you started really well, it kind of gets rid of a few of those nerves and kind of says, okay, well, we're here, we've arrived, we're up for this game, and already this first 10 minutes is better than any 10 minutes we played against Galway 6 weeks ago. So I'd be saying, from that point of view, it matters from the point of view that it'll be in the back of their heads. Like, they're not going to take as big a beating as that. You know, I see that as an anomaly, that performance. So that's how I think it's going to be a part of the preparation, a part of the build into it. But I think for Kilkenny coming into it, they'll be looking, going, well, you know, come hell or high water, it won't be a performance like that. So that's the only area I think it comes into. After that, it's going to come down to straight shootout. It's going to be who's the best team on the night. And there'd be no hiding behind what happened 6 weeks ago or any of that crack. It's whoever's good enough on the evening, whoever's good enough tonight, whether it's Salt Hill or Nolan Park, that's the better team. And it just comes back to brass tacks that way.
Skell, you're nodding along. So you don't think Galway are going to rack up 35 points again, do you?
No, I don't. I think, look, you know, the last two championship encounters we had at Kilkenny, we lost by an average of 10 points. You know, both games, in the group game below in Nolan Park last year and the final. And the final should have been more, to be honest. I think Kilkenny did take the foot off the gas heavily. And so that's a hard distance to make up. And the teams haven't changed dramatically. You know, I look, they've changed a bit, don't get me wrong, but they haven't changed dramatically. And 10 points is a bit of a stretch. I think the game in Salt Hill, like, was just, I have to say, it was a once-off. Would, you know, I don't think that would be repeated, you know, ever. Again, to be honest, it's hard to see us beating Kilkenny with that margin going forward. And every team in the country can have a blip every now and then. I think that was Kilkenny's blip. That was all it was. And it could be circumstantial in terms of, like, the evening game, the wind, the day, missing players. You can think of any number of reasons, but, and that could all, you know, piece together to formulate the reasoning behind the response or behind the performance. And that's brushed off. That's the way. They came out in a couple of weeks later against Tipperary and performed well. You'd have to agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, it can't be, you know, the, I suppose, the, you know, the hill that Kilkenny die on. It won't be the case. So it's going to be a heavy, heavy game next week. I just hope the weather doesn't get in the way, which it has. You've often heard me say about that at Pearce Stadium. It doesn't get in the way. The last time we beat Kilkenny as well, I think, was it in Pearce Stadium? Was it through the Henry Shefflin area in the championship game?
Was that draw? Or was that win? No, was that win?
Was it win? Yeah, that was the last time I can think of us beating Kilkenny.
That was handshake, right, was it?
Yeah, the handshake one.
Conor Cooney got a free to put it to win the game in the middle of the field. Wasn't that it? Mm. Yeah.
So, like, obviously, you go back to 25. There was a loss in the final and the loss in the group game. 24, we weren't in the final, and the group game was a draw, I think. And in 23, we lost the final by Killian Buckley's pull. Was that it?
Mm.
The fourth pull. And then the game before that was the handshake game, I believe.
That's good memory. I think you're right.
So it's been a while since we bet Kilkenny. So you're flipping due one, more afraid. You're fucking due one. It's fighting talk now.
Yeah.
But come here, I can say all that, right? And you asked me to assess Kilkenny's situation. I still believe Galway are a better team than last year. They are. And to close 10 points is going to be tough. It is going to be tough. But I still think they have what they can to do. What's in their squad right now and in their team, I think, is in it. You often heard me say the best method of improving your team you know, is recruitment. And the guys we've got in, the younger players, I'm expecting them to contribute heavily, but it remains to be seen.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what you were saying there made me sound not only that Galway are a better team than last year, but you're also saying Galway are now a better team than Kilkenny as well.
So is this year's Galway team better than last year's Kilkenny team? No. Is this year's Galway team better than this year's Kilkenny team? Potentially. That's what I'm saying. Okay, potentially, yeah. But when we take Kilkenny in the league there, did they have TG Reid playing? Negative.
No.
Did they have Mikey Butler playing? Not to my memory. I don't think it was Tamworth.
In which match?
In the league game.
The game sold out.
Hear me out for a moment here.
No, he wasn't.
So, if Mikey Butler takes up someone like Aaron Ireland, who was the talisman for us at the moment, okay, that's a tough matchup for Aaron. Like, Mikey Butler has done the business on top players, and we've seen what he's done to Tony Kelly in the past, right? So if you're a new talisman and you're a sharpshooter is marshalled by a lad who he didn't face yet in his career, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
And now let's say we may have a young fullback in Killian Traers facing TJ Reid. Different kettle of fish, lads. That's what I'm saying. Mm. Those two players alone make a huge difference to Kilkenny. So the gap between them in the league game closes substantially. But I'm saying the group as a collective, what Galway have brought into this year, particularly in their forward unit, and the growth of someone like Rory Burke, I think has potential to get us up to Kilkenny. And it's like Murph said about the Munster Championship. I'm not talking about 5-10 points here. I'm talking about a point if we get over them. Down to the wire job. 2 points, please God. You know?
Yeah.
That's it. There's not a huge distance between Galway and Kilkenny in my mind. But the way they performed last year, I think there was an element of naivety in Galway, especially in Nolan Park, element of naivety. And I think that was a tactical situation. That, for me, I think will be eradicated at this point.
Okay. You see, this is where we have the opposite argument to what happened. You were talking about Munster earlier and everything is really cutthroat and week number one is really vital and whatever else. And again, the Leinster fixture computer oftentimes will put Kilkenny versus Galway, Galway versus Kilkenny towards the start of the championship. Always feels it suffers a little bit as a result. And I know you want a marquee game, Murph, to kick things off. And it's like, oh, look, they're playing half four. It's the very first game of the Leinster Championship to come on Saturday. And these are the two teams likely to go to the final and yada, yada, yada. The reality is that I often find with the recent meetings we've had between these two teams, there's a certain feeling when they walk off the pitch, you're shaking hands and saying, I'll probably see you in a few weeks at Croke Park.
Yeah, there is. And there has been over the last few years. The only element I'll throw into that might be the cat among the pigeons is Dublin. But if Dublin had a stronger league final, I'd be saying, yeah, okay, Dublin are ready to rock now and come in and just cause carnage inside Leinster in terms of at least getting rid of one of those teams. Now, they have upset Galway in terms of, you know, Dublin have played Kilkenny in Leinster finals, you know, not in the not too distant past, by putting in a good performance and getting to the Leinster final. But at the moment, I suppose we have to see a few more Dublin's performances to see. Now, I'm looking at the fixtures, and like it kind of happens like Kilkenny and Galway this weekend. You know, that's obviously the main pick. Kildare, Wexford, look, we'll get to all those games. And it's each weekend you kind of have, if Kilkenny, Wexford, then the second round, Dublin, Kildare might be good. But like, you know, as you go on, it's kind of one game, really. Each week is possibly the game that you're going to pick out. And I agree with you, like, you know, Kilkenny, Galway. The other side is, if they're at the other end of the championship, you know, if they were at the round five, it's almost like in the league there where we had Cork and Limerick in the last round.
They could be already qualified, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's the competitiveness is what it comes back to. But I'd agree with Scahill there. Like, there's, I really feel that was a standalone game a couple of weeks ago. I do think Galway are in a really strong position coming into this game, though. And that's just completely on merit. Like, Galway showed really good signs during the league. Finished up on 6 points. Wouldn't that be correct in saying Galway finished at 6 points? Just point behind Tipperary in terms of your overall league performance. And we're saying Tipperary have had a really good league. So, you know, Galway in Salt Hill as well, it's a tough proposition. And I can't remember a game between Galway and Kilkenny outside of the league performance. Let's say we talk round robin stage. I can't think of a game outside of that's been really anything, only, you know, two points or so. I can't. Now, again, throw it into the comments. I'm open to correction. But over the last... let's say over the last 6 or 8 years when Kilkenny and Galway have played up in Salt Hill, can you think of any performance in the round robin stage where it's been a bigger score than like 2 or 3 points? I could be completely wrong. There may be a performance that's completely escaped me at the moment.
No, I think the biggest one, Murph, was 18. I think that was 5 or 6.
Okay.
Then there was 20. Jeez, no, I think you're right, Murph. It's only a couple of points. You're right.
There's,
yeah,
there's never anything in it. It seems to be more of a shootout, these kind of matches.
Don't worry. The fact checkers will be after us here anyway, so just comment away.
Fire away, absolutely. Yeah, I just think there's, and even for the points that Skehill made there, you know, like some Mikey coming back, we saw the impact that TJ had against Tipperary. You know, Mark and Ronan Maher, he was, had an absolute monster of a game, you know, so all those things does shift the dynamic a small bit. Like, the one thing you'd be focusing on is the Kilkenny performance, making sure that is, you know, streets, light years ahead of where it was a couple of weeks ago. But I would put it this way. I think Kilkenny would be approaching this game saying, you know, Galway are starting this maybe with a 2-point advantage. If you know, from a psychological point of view, they had that win 6 weeks ago. They're at home and they're hungry. It looks like Galway are hungry and that they have an edge to them. And it's that forward line as well, whereby sometimes we've been sitting here over the years and we've been saying Conor Whelan, and who else is really going to do it there? Now we're looking at Nyland, we're looking at Rabbit, we're looking at all lads. And I mean, you know, Mannion has more of a free role because there's so many lads now. Tommy Monaghan, who was a fella in fairness, who's covered for the last years, has been covering enormous ground for Galway, has been doing his best all around. But just, you know, at the end of the day, they didn't have as many lads up front really causing problems. Galway have that now. So they are a better team than last year. And I think they feel that, you know, now is a good year to really go and get that Leinster Championship and get that monkey off their back. So, you know, Kilkenny people approaching this and the Kilkenny team approaching this will be saying, you know, this Galway team, forget what you've known about Galway over the last couple of years, or forget the, you know, we just pipped him in Leinster finals or whatever like that. This is a dangerous beast because, you know, might have been making a joke a couple of weeks. Well, not a joke, but like saying to Skehill, throw the house on Galway and all this stuff. But Galway have caused, I think Galway will cause teams serious problems this year. Do you know?
I agree. And
I think they get, go on, sorry, yeah.
No, I was just going to ask Gail about Aaron Nyland, because obviously a lot of the folks are going to come in, right? But watching him in the 20s against Wexford a couple of weekends ago now at this stage, and like he puts in this remarkable performance. Everyone saw the goal. Everyone saw like some of his off the ball movement, and you know, saw him a couple of times during the league. I remember saying to you, even it's not the most high profile game, but the game against Offaly, Galway were playing against the wind, and he wanted to show for the ball every single time the Galway were attacking, which is a great sign in the young attacker. Like, is he one of the most accomplished and rounded under 20 players we've ever seen come into senior level?
Whoa, you used the word ever there.
Maybe ever's unfair, but you know where I'm coming from here, though. I don't mean to heap pressure on the young lad here, but what I'm saying is, like, for players we've watched in recent seasons, maybe physically they need to build out a little bit coming out of under 20. Yeah. To me, Nyland looks like he's a guy who's right ready for seniors straight away, and the way he's performed in the league, he's shown he is.
I think he's got great potential. I really think he's got great potential. It would amaze you to think that he's got no minor or no 20 Ireland.
Hmm.
So, you know, when a player of that caliber is in your squad, you think you're always going to be challenged for the titles, but we don't have, he hasn't got any. So the senior, you know, setup is coming on his own ability alone, not on the back of wins or major, you know, titles that his underage teams have won. So he's got there in merit. That's the first thing to say. Is he the one of the best ever? I think that we've clutch it there a little bit now.
Look, I don't want anyone coming shooting me here going, well, look at what Darren McCarthy or some of the other 20s from Tipperary did, where they just like senior hurling like a duck to water.
Your question brought me straight to Canning, straight to TJ Reid, straight to them people. They're the best 20s I've ever seen coming through the books, you know. Whereas Aaron has potential, of course, right? But you have to understand, he is going to be the marquee forward for Galway, marked by the marquee back of each county. So, as I said to you, Mikey Butler, for me, who we know Murph loves, and I like him too, hold him in very high regard. That's the toughest you're going to come across. And when we would assess players in the past, you'd always say, right, if you're looking at a player who's young or has good club form, ask yourself the question, can they go out and mark Jackie Turtle? Or can they go out and mark, you know, flipping, we used to say Paul Curran, something like that. Can they do that, right? And if they can survive there, they've got potential. So when I look at Aaron, can he go now and mark Mikey Butler or, you know, these players? And if he survives well there, then, you know, the potential is now being realised and it becomes class. You know, so there was obviously questions about Dan McCarthy, and he kind of came from nowhere last year to a degree, but then he started playing games, and he had his ups and downs last year, don't get me wrong, with regards to discipline record, but Jesus, he showed up in the final, and now he's etched in history, right? And he's etched as one of the marquee players to Tipperary. That can never get taken away from. There's a long way to go before Aaron gets put into that echelon there.
That's fair enough. I didn't mean to lead you, by the way, into some kind of worry we're going to go. Because
he's the best ever. He's the best ever.
Yeah. We get this all the time. I think Murph had a few Tipperary fans who were going, they're not bigging up some of these young players enough. Like, you need to start doing them more. It's funny how people can take offence to that. Because I'm always mindful that we don't want to go too heavy on young lads either.
Yeah.
Because you can watch them at Fitz level, or you can watch them under 20s, or watch them at minors, and wow, they're massive standout players. And then senior can be quite difficult. And I'm always really mindful as well of the, it's different now. You come out of 20s, you're not coming out of 21s. You're coming out of minor, you're 17, turning to 18, as opposed to being 18, going 19. And therefore, they've got like a bit of physicality to add to their game. They've got that maturity to add to their game. And you're asking an awful lot when you go, oh, wow, are they the GOAT? Or are they a future GOAT or whatever else? But
yeah,
I can't get away from the fact that Nyland looks really, really good. You can deflect it away all you want, but he looks great.
He's got the potential to be great.
Yeah, totally.
He does, yeah. And if Galway are going to go anywhere, we know that he has got to reach the levels that the Tipperary man did last year. Simple as that.
Mm. He needs a team around him to do that as well. It's one of the reasons that works so well for those young lads.
In terms of impact, you'd have to say that Jason Rabbit could carry an equal impact.
He's quality, yeah.
Quality player, great feet, you know, two sides. You know, he's a thick man too. I mean that in terms of, like, he doesn't give up easily, like, you know. Mm. For being a young kid. So that's why I know everyone will look at, and the media inclusive will look at Aaron as being the marquee forward, and rightfully so. But don't discount Jason for longevity. Like, you remember what his father was like? Jesus, a pig. What I mean? And if we get one of them again, no, great. Super.
No, it's a strong bloodline in that family for sure. He looks like a cut of his outlet, all right? So the other game's in Leinster, then. So that's the half four game on Saturday, which kicks things off.
Whoa. We didn't
You want a prediction from Murph, sorry.
I want a prediction from Murph.
I knew he would.
Where do you think I'm going to go with this? Where do you think? This is the threshold where...
I know where you're going. I know where you're going. I just want to know the gap, the distance, the separation between the both. That's what I'm interested in.
Two points. Like, I think against Limerick in that, Kilkenny, when they've been playing him. I've definitely backed him in a few games where I'm like, look, you know, Kilkenny aren't in the place to go and beat these lads. But we're in championship now, like, you know, and I just do believe Kilkenny have the clientele to go and beat them there. And I also do believe that, you know, this isn't playing up Galway. I do think Galway are starting in pole position here. And I wouldn't say the same thing with Tip and Cork. Like, you know, I think teams are starting kind of 50-50 there. But, you know, Galway at home, and after that beating a couple of weeks ago, Kilkenny have a few more boxes to tick to go and win this match than Galway. But I'm, you know, standing behind Kilkenny there and saying that I believe and I trust that the lads will be up for the challenge. But it's not going to be I don't think on either side it's going to be a 5-point win or anything like that. I think this will be straight shootout.
So go on, Skell. How much are Galway winning by then?
Just take everything Murph said right and replace the word Kilkenny with Galway and replace the word Galway with Kilkenny. That's it.
My plan was to do a run through of the three games when we gone through them, but Skell wasn't letting it go in case Murphy was to get out the door without having predicted.
You have to break the tie here. Who do you think? Galway, Kenny?
I think Galway win, not by a huge amount, but I still think that these two teams will meet in the provincial final. We'll talk about our top three in a second, but, like, again, I think these two will qualify. I'm not buying this idea that we're in the middle of Kilkenny's downfall or their funeral or something like that for this season. I'm not having that at all. But Kildare against Wexford then, in Newbridge, big game for Kildare, you know, back up in the Leinster Championship, first time in over 20 years, off the back of a fairly successful league campaign. The only thing is, Murph, about Kildare going into this, it has to hang over slightly that Wexford gave them a good kicking the last time that they met.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate that game wasn't with pressure on because Kildare knew they were staying up anyway. But it's a cautionary tale from any of us who thought, ooh, that first game in Leinster looks a little bit tasty now. Maybe people have now reassessed and think, you know, Wexford will go and do the business.
Yeah, completely. You know, Kildare have been absolutely fantastic this year. I think I picked Kildare to beat Antrim. I think I even said maybe against Wexford that I can't remember what I said. But I don't know that I expected them to win. I don't think I did, but I don't think anyone expected it was a 21-point loss.
Like, we all got carried up in the emotion, though. We thought, oh, look, this could be a massive story. Maybe Kildare can beat them, and next thing then Leinster looks interesting. We all kind of wanted it to happen.
Well, yeah, but I don't think it's too emotional either. They were in front against Clare for quite a bit. So, like, their performances, you know, Dublin was nearly their worst performance, is that what you want to say, in the league outside of that? Every other match they performed really well in. And Clare being the big one there, where, like, you know, they led that game for, you know, a serious length, and Clare had a really good team out. So when you're watching them going into Wexford here now, Kildare had given you a few good indicators to say that this will be very tough. And bear in mind as well, Wexford only bet down by maybe 2 points. Was that something to that effect? So it was two things. It was Kildare had been really good and really went to teams. And then also Wexford hadn't covered themselves in glory. You know, it took Mark Fanning to get them over Antrim. They let a fairly sizable half-time lead against Down slip. And then, you know, got out the gate with a 2-point win or whatever it was. So then suddenly to land the 21-point win on Kildare, like, that was kind of just not expected. So coming into this game, you'd have to go Wexford in this one. Just simply because 21 points, you know, quite obviously the better team in that regard. And it's not so long ago since it's happened. You know, it's not like it was even the first round of the league. Like, I mean, this is still fairly fresh. Lee Chin coming back for Wexford, obviously, like, they didn't have him against Antrim in the first round. I'm trying to think what game it was that he actually came back. But once he came back, he had an influence, not just on the scoreboard, but for setting up other lads and bringing other lads into the game. So there's a good few elements there. Will they get one or two other injuries back then as well? Like, I mean, we saw during the league, you know, talk of, you know, Jack O'Connor being back.
I think he's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, Liam Ryan also being back, who should be a huge lift as well. I actually don't know even if Liam Ryan has been introduced since before that. That's my own ignorance there. But, you know, they do have a few lads coming back. So you'd have to look. No, it's up in Newbridge, so that won't be a walk in the park either. But I still give Wexford here the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you can't look at a 21-point win a couple of weeks ago and then say, oh, yeah, Kildare are going to turn this one over. Kildare have great potential, and they definitely do have the players to really go and make trouble for another team. But you have to give Wexford the credit on this one. They were much the better team when the last time they met. So I expect them to have too much for Kildare this time as well.
This is the bridging gap between Joe McDonagh and the senior championship and the real test of its skill. If Kildare want to take a bit of pressure off themselves, I think this is the fixture they want to win. I still think their last game at home against Offaly is going to be the make or break. That's whether they're in Leinster in 27. But at the same time, if they could get a result against one of the other teams, that takes the pressure off ahead of the final round. I am kind of fancying Wexford to do a business job here and go up and win. There's been times when I kind of expected that Kildare were going to turn teams over. I actually even thought with the preliminary quarterfinal last year they'd be reasonably close to Dublin. They weren't. I do take the other factors of coming in 6 days after the Joe McDonagh final, it's not easy and so on. Are we going to see a Kildare performance like the Clare game, like turn some of the other teams over in 1B this year, or can they put it up to Wexford on Saturday night?
Before I start, I think, was it 21 points was the difference between the teams and they met the league? Something like that. Yeah, look, this is going to be a tough one, Will, to be fair. It's going to be a tough one. I think even when they played in the league, I would have you know, felt that Wexford were going to try and put a number on Kildare solely because they're meeting them in the first round of the championship, and to let them know, like, we're still here. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. We're a Division 1A standard, et cetera, et cetera. You know, however, Kildare, I think, you know, we've often spoke about games where everything would need to go right for the team to get a victory. Kildare are firmly in that bracket. Not trying to dismiss the efforts to date, but everything has to go for them. The venue has to go for them. They have to get the rub of the green with the guard as the referee. Crowd have to get right behind them for the full 75 minutes. And then they have to get that bit of luck. But it's hard for me to see all that, even with all that in their corner, getting over Wexford. It's just a goal from class. That's all it is. And these teams might be on different journeys. We might sit here now on this desk in 5 years' time and Kildare could potentially overtake Wexford. Who knows, right? But as we stand right now, there's just a gulf at the moment. I think Kildare have a level that they can combat other teams. And the one television game that I got to see them this year was the one where they played Carlow in Newbridge. They decimated Carlow, and they were very impressive. But that was a level. That was their output of level at this current moment in time. So it would bring Wexford and replace Carlow with Wexford. I think the levels didn't swap around. Wexford are just a level above Kildare. That's reality. I don't think anyone's going to discount that. But will it be 21 points? Hard to see. I think you are looking at double digits, though, to be fair. Mm. I think you can get a competitive Kildare. And I would hope, Kildare being, I suppose, historically a football county, I would hope that Newbridge is, I won't say a sellout, because I don't expect it, but a heavy crowd, a heavy local crowd.
I'm in the middle of getting the Hurling Power rankings ready for Tuesday. I'm going to be doing them then. And that's one of the things about Kildare. I would hope when we're assessing their position that the way Kildare fans would look at it now is that they beat the two teams who went down in Division 1B and they also got the win against Antrim. So they beat the three teams below them to get themselves into a safe position there. The next step for Kildare now is to try and get to a point where they start to challenge Dublin, Wexford, Offaly and three of them within their own province. If they're going to improve, they're the three teams they need to get ahead of. And while I do expect Wexford to win, I think this is the type of game that Kildare want to be competitive in. I don't think they're going to get anything out of Kilkenny or Galway. And I think Dublin are a level above them as well, as we saw last season, as we saw even in the league earlier this year. So I think this is their second best chance of getting points at home to Wexford all season, as it will be the game against Offaly at the end. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, it puts a very different spin on Wexford's season if they win this one. The next thing Wexford then start to look at, you know, themselves and Dublin have had some right good battles over the last while, and then maybe you get a result against Dublin and you're talking about finishing in the top three. So it's essential that Wexford win this. Because if they don't, imagine Wexford lose to Kildare, next thing is panic stations.
It is, yeah. And like their next game then after that is in Kilkenny. And like they always perform well against Kilkenny. It doesn't matter what's going on, they'll perform well. So
the record's far better at Wexford Park against Kilkenny than it is in Nolan Park.
Yeah, but true. But I've been at a lot of games, both playing in and watching, and where Wexford still turn up. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't like the ones in Nolan Park were just absolutely blown out the gate either. But the thing is that if you don't beat Kildare, you approach the Kilkenny game fairly downtrodden, and oh, you know, what are we going to? If you beat, you know, not say if you beat Kildare, they'll expect themselves to beat Kildare. You'll then go full tilt at Kilkenny, and you'll have Dublin at home then the next one. So yeah, I mean, look, there's no Wexford player or person going to this game saying we're not going to be able to win this game. They're fully expecting to go and win it. So anything other than that will really derail their year as a whole, I think.
Yeah. Then this is where I have my official worried about Offaly hat on. Offaly play Dublin half six this coming weekend. I appreciate we're recording on Saturday, the 11th of April, right now, as opposed to Sunday. And my mind is, again, somewhat coloured by the fact that the Offaly footballers have lost every game this season and have come out of Division 2 with no wins. And then we're beaten quite comprehensively by Laois, a team who were a level even below them in the football tonight. And sometimes it just seeps in. A team is having a negative season and you just feel like you can't get anything. And injuries start to mount up. And maybe it's going to be a case of both the Offaly footballers and Irish don't win a single game all season. That is starting to dawn at this stage very early on in the year.
Come on, have a little bit of positivity here.
I know, I don't want to be down on it, but like teams get into a rut and counties can feel like they're getting into a rut. So this time last season, like both of the Offaly teams at senior level, football and hurling, were going well. Hurlers have got promoted, footballers have gone up to Division 2, all is rosy in the garden, it's all looking nice. And even there was the minor Leinster that they won last season, and you're kind of thinking, okay, you know, things are moving in the right direction. Now this season, you get a few bad results. It's difficult when you go up to 1A anyway. They weren't really that close to any of the teams other than maybe the Waterford away game. That was a funny old game. The other matches, you know, when they came up against a really top-level opposition, Cork, even without playing that well, put them to sword. Lost against a very experimental Kilkenny team in the first day. Galway gave them a nice kicking in the end, and they lost heavily enough to Limerick at home as well. And even if it is a case of they were competitive for stages, the reality is in 1A they were a distance away, back down to 1B for next season. Now they're going up against a Dublin team who are going the other direction, who've just got promoted, who actually I thought acquitted themselves reasonably well, especially second half against Clare the last day. I appreciate that people are saying again there might be levels to this and that Clare are a bit ahead of them, but the reality is I can't see anything but a Dublin win in Tullamore this coming Saturday. Like, Dublin are operating on a higher level, and that's disappointing because last season, Offaly, with all of their momentum from the season before, were probably just a few minutes away from hanging on from a win in Parnell Park. And then Dublin went direct at the end of the game and turned it around. I just, I don't know, you feel about this, Murph. I have full expectation that Dublin go to O'Connor Park next Saturday and win.
Yeah, from him, look, you've highlighted everything there. Like, it just hasn't been Offaly's year. And, you know, they had the injuries straight away from the start. You knew straight away, right, this is, and I think our very first podcast, we were probably just saying, this is going to be a very tough year for Offaly. And it was very few teams that were actually saying that against. But then when you look at Dublin on the other side, you know, getting players back after having a great year last year, getting players back, really kind of a feel-good factor about them. Yeah, it's just the nature of it at the moment. It's very hard to look past Dublin at the moment. Dublin really wants to, will really want to have a tilt at this Leinster Championship. They'll want to go as far as the Leinster Final, and whatever happens after that. You know, and I'm sure they'll all say that they want to win it as well. Absolutely, I fully believe it. But their goal at the moment is, we want to get into the top two. We're going straight to a Leinster Final. And, you know, we get as far as that and anything can happen. So that's Dublin's. Whereas you're looking at Offaly, you're saying, Where what do Offaly cling on to? There's very little there for them to cling on to at the moment. So, you know, as a starter, they're in a tough position, and I can't see anything other than a Dublin win at the weekend.
Yeah, Dublin are a more accomplished team and a more experienced team than they were 12 months ago. I think that journey they had last season, albeit it ends in, you know, championship-wise with a heavy defeat to Cork, the reality is they beat Limerick. They had a good run through the championship, played well, had that thriller against Wexford in the Leinster Championship. After the Offaly game, they improved last season. Definitely it's an upward trajectory. The other thing for Offaly is, and I forgot the Tipperary game when I was reeling off some of the defeats they took. Offaly conceding a lot, and that's not Liam Hoare's fault in the goals. He's really good. He was on the Fitzgibbon team of the year this season. He's been a real find, I think, out of the under-20s in the last couple of seasons. He's been excellent, but awfully likely to put out 3 to 4 of their frontline defenders, and that's at a time when they were still conceding. So the Donald Shirley injury is far from ideal to add on to that, where he played 6 for most of last year and into this year, and he was about to go back to 5. And it just means shuffling, lads. Ruben Kenny is a very good cornerback, might have to play fullback if Kieran Burke's not fit, and other lads are missing. James Mann hasn't really been fit for most of the season. If you're a smaller county scale, you just cannot afford to lose key personnel in a few positions.
No, you can't. And like what I mentioned about Waterford a while ago in terms of panel strength and missing players, the same applies to Offaly. And the trouble is, like, if of all teams that they're coming up against, I think Dublin have the ability to get goals. Like I said probably last week in the preview versus Clare, they had scored, 199 points in the league round robin. They had scored 14 goals. They rattled 3 more against Clare in the final. So there's a serious goal threat there, Will. And if Offaly are going to challenge at all, you need to stop the green flag from waving. And that's tough because, you know, Dublin would have learned last week that they were naive in the first half versus Clare. So you'd imagine from a tactical perspective, they'll shore that up. But they would take great confidence in the fact that they rattled 3 goals against Clare and could have had more. So they have a long ball option, as we know, and they have a pace option inside. So it's a case of how do Offaly stop that? And I just think from a clientele perspective, you know, I just don't think they have it at the minute. That's straight up in terms of squad, you know, strength. You know, Dublin are, if you're looking at both teams in terms of where they're graphing, Dublin are ascending, not just in league now, Will, but I think overall, Dublin are ascending and Offaly are descending in terms of form.
Oh yeah, so like, Dublin have a better panel now. Like you bring Ronald back in. I know. Obviously, Donald Burke didn't play in the league finally. He's got a bit of a knock at the moment. But like aside from that, you bring Rush in, you bring O'Donnell back in. It's like they're bringing this experience back into the side, having already crafted a decent starting 15 last season. They're a better team now.
They are, of course. I agree with you. Like, I mean, Offaly's perspective, they could they cling on to anything in the league that could give them some kind of positivity whatsoever? I think they finished, again, fact checkers will check me, they finished -71 in score difference.
Yeah.
That's a lot. that's a big, you know, that's a big margin to try. And that's against Division 1A teams, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, as a group, we often talk about momentum. How do you kickstart your season? You look at what you've done up to date and you say, Jesus, there's not much we can look at there. You know, and then you look at your first game and you'd probably say, I'd rather, you know, an easier opponent, I say that in inverted commas, but they're getting Dublin. A game that they'd say, right, we'd like to win if we're going challenging to move forward. But then it's hard to see how Dublin would let this game slip, regardless of venue, you know, whether Anthony, etc. And it's just, I'm only looking at a Dublin win. And the forwards that Dublin have at the minute, the form that Keane Sullivan can provide, Whiteley, Hedgehog, as we know, geez, it's very, very hard, Will, to see Anthony with a Dublin victory.
Yeah. I'm there, and I'm trying to be, in case anyone thinks he's been way too negative, I'm actually kind of trying to be realistic at the moment. My concern would be, Offaly play Dublin first, and then they've got Galway away, Kilkenny at home, before playing Wexford at home. You take two heavy kickings, say, after potentially losing against Dublin. Next thing, those last two matches against Wexford and Kildare are basically relegation 4-pointers in both cases. And it's very easy for your season just to slip away from you. Pick one or two more injuries up, and next thing you're down the dumps before you play the last two matches. Season transforms if they win. If Offaly pull off a win against Dublin this coming weekend, happy days. And next thing, it's a good feeling. And the next two matches don't really matter. And they've a free hit at the last two. But I just think psychologically, coming out of a league campaign that's been very, very difficult, if they take a bit of a beating from Dublin this weekend, which could happen, next thing, it's panic stations.
Like, is it wrong for me to say this? I'm asking more from a technical perspective here, Will. Offaly can't go 15-15 in this championship. They just can't. You know, they have to say to themselves, with the way the games are coming, they're playing arguably the top three teams in the province in the first three games, okay? And the big game that Offaly has is coming at the latter stages of round robin. Set yourself up in such a way that you have 13 lads behind the ball at 2 points. You know, try and get yourself into a very, very hard to beat status. If you go toe to toe with Galway Kilkenny, they'll wipe the floor with you. That's just reality. Mm-hmm. If you go 15-15, you're dead. Too many gaps open up because the clientele that Galway Kilkenny have and Dublin is the golfing class is too vast. So set up in a way that you're not going to win the games, grand, but can we get something out of the game from a technical or tactical perspective? You know, what's your reckon, Murph?
No, yeah, you're 100%. Yeah, like at the moment, they just don't have the clientele there, and it's simple as that. And like, they've gotten enough indications of it at this stage as well. Nobody wants to drop back and drop into a kind of a defensive formation, but you have to give yourself some sort of a platform to, you know, trip up the opposition if the opposition just have can outgun you. And that's what's going to happen. You know, like you said, with your Galways or the Kennys or whoever, you know, so sometimes, you know, maybe it goes back to what you were saying, Will, of just being realistic. Like sometimes you have to go, okay, maybe we have to adapt here and, you know, recognize what we have or maybe what we don't have as well. yes, we've had our injuries, we've had all that, but let's adjust here and let's give ourselves a realistic chance of picking up points in places we maybe thought we weren't going to pick them up. And if that means putting out a small bit of a different, and let's say call it a non-traditional formation, we should go with it, you know, and see, can you take anything from it?
Yeah.
But hope springs eternal, as they say, and there have been a few plus points out of the league. Like Adam Screen, he got much more of a year this year after being injured at the start of last year. Little things along the way, but they're crumbs at this stage coming out of 1A. And that's the tricky part. You go to 1B next year, maybe win a few games, you start to feel good again. It's a weird cycle of things where, you know, maybe you're better off winning at a slightly lower level than going up to the very top and taking a few beatings. Yeah. So we shall see. But there are the games in Leinster. Your top three for Leinster this year, lads. I'm going to kick it off. For me, I'm going to go Galway. I think Galway are going to beat Kilkenny this weekend. I'm going Galway, Kilkenny, Dublin. With Dublin still having a chance of getting to the final, but it means getting that win over Kilkenny, which has proved very difficult for him so far. So I'm going as my top three, but I'm putting Galway top of the pile at the end of the league campaign. Where are you going, Murph?
Yeah, surprisingly, I'll go Kilkenny, Galway, Dublin.
In that order, right?
Yeah, well, sure. Look, I mean, if you're going, in that order, it'd mean for a stranger Leinster Championship than we were expecting. If I was fancying Kilkenny for the win this weekend, but also expecting that Kilkenny are going to come second at the same time, because that means then that, what, Kilkenny have to lose points somewhere else? I don't know. It makes it very confusing. But Kilkenny, Galway, Dublin, yeah.
I can feel big Tom the Garda shouting at me already going, Dublin in third, what are you on about? Dublin are going to be first or second. Skell, where are you putting the teams in your final order? You're actually going through your notes. You've thought about this.
I am going back, would you believe? I have my notebook here. I'm trying to find last year's notes. That'll take me a while, William.
I think it could. just five. Don't worry about last year's notes.
Galway, Kilkenny, Dublin. That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
And I'm going for a Galway, Kilkenny, Leinster final. And
we'll
hold it there. We should go no further.
Well, interesting. That'll save that till we actually get out of the group stage. No point in you turning around and saying, well, actually, I gave you my solid prediction on that even before we started. So just a recap of the fixtures before we finish this week's pod then. So Saturday, it's Leinster, 4:30, Galway versus Kilkenny. You've got two games at 6:30 then, Kildare against Wexford, Offaly versus Dublin. And then on Sunday, there are two games in Munster, 2 p.m. start for Clare against Waterford. And then we've got Tipperary against Cork at 4 p.m. It's an intriguing first weekend, and I don't mean to be too down on Leinster. We're often accusing this one of being far too Leinster a pod anyway. I really hope that we actually end up with a competitive Leinster. I hope we have a cracking game to kick things off between Kilkenny and Galway, but I can't help but be a little bit more excited about Munster right now. Prove me wrong, Leinster counties, is what I say to you. The two lads can't disagree with that. Paul Murphy, we'll chat to you next Sunday.
Thanks very much, lads.
James Gale, we'll see you a bit later on.
God bless.
The Hurling Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With Apple Green. Making every journey better.